You know, I had no fear that my daddy was ever going to hurt me because that was not his desire. It wasn't to hurt me. It was to correct me. And you know what God wants? He says, it's not my desire to kill you. It's not my desire to hurt you. But it's my desire to correct you, to chasten you, to bring you to a point of perfection, and to take you to a place where it profits you the most. God chastens us for our profit so that we might be fit, so that we might be partakers of his holiness. And holiness is God's expectation for us. That's his expectation. Early on, before Christ came, he told us of his desire that we be holy, that he would bring about correction in our lives to lead us towards holiness. Two more pieces of scripture I want to show you as we look at what is God's heart and what is God's design. Look in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, page 750 in your pew Bibles. In Luke chapter 1, as Christ has promised to us in Malachi that there was going to come a Savior, that he was going to send a messenger before his Savior. Now in the book of Luke, we see that the birth of John the Baptist and John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, had not spoken a word since the angel of the Lord had given him the prophecy that his boy would be born. Because of his unbelief or because of his doubt of God. And now this child has been born. And now this man, Zacharias, is being asked, what will the child's name be? And the people stood around wanting to name the child Zacharias after his daddy because he had no other children. And Zacharias wrote on a board that the child's name would be John. And when Zacharias wrote those words, the Bible says God loosed his tongue and he began to prophesy about what God was going to do, not only in the life of that boy, but in the life of you and I, because of God's promise being fulfilled in our lives. And in verse number 68, we see that Zechariah speaks about what it is that God is going to do for us as he, for our profit, for our pleasure, so that we might serve him in complete holiness. Verse 68, he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. That we might serve him without fear in holiness and in righteousness is what God is saying before him all the days of our life. Amen. And how can we unless he corrects us? How can we except he corrects us? Look what he says in verse number 75. He says that he wants us to serve him in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge and salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. I want you to understand this, guys. John would give us the knowledge, knowledge that he would take from the scriptures, and he would lead us to salvation. He would lead us to a point of correction. He would lead us to a point for the remission of our sins so that we might be holy and righteous before the Lord. God said that was always his plan. And how's he going to do it? How's he going to do it? Verse 78 says he's going to do it through the tender mercy of our God. He's going to correct us. But he's going to correct us in mercy. He's going to spank us. And then he's going to hug us. And he's going to send us on our way. Amen. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Amen. Lord, what do you want us to see? What do you want us to do? He says, I want to give you light. I want to give light to them that sit in darkness. Amen. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet. That's what he does. Sometimes we need a little feet, a little fire on our feet. And God says he does that to guide our feet into the way of peace. God wants us to profit. He wants us to profit. He wants us to give him honor. He wants us to recognize his correction. Let's close out in 2 Peter chapter 3. That's on page 899. He chastens us, I believe. He chastens us. I'm having a hard time with that word today. He chastens us to steer us, I believe, in the right direction. Second Peter, chapter number 3. We'll read just a few verses here. Then we'll close. Second Peter, chapter 3. Last week, I believe we read verse number 9. As we explored that God is long-suffering, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But here in verse 10, He warns us as to why we need to be honoring to the correction that God gives to us. Why we need to let it be to our profit. Why we need to be ready so that when we stand before Him, we'll be able to stand unashamed. In verse 10, He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent fire, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Understanding that God could come any minute. What do we ought to be like? What do we ought to be doing? He says, here's what we ought to look like. Here's what we should be doing. "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Whereto, brother, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Now, how are you going to be found without spot and blameless? Is it anything that you can do on your own? Are there any works that you can do on your own that can make you blameless and without spot? Absolutely not. It's through the chastening of God. He says, will you submit yourselves to the chastening of God, the fire that God will use to make you perfect and to make it so that you might be profitable when you see God? Verse 15, he says, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." He says they can't understand it. Because they don't know Him. Because they're not humbling themselves before Him. They're not submitting themselves to the refiner's fire. They don't want to be burned. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." He says there's a spiritual war out there. Some don't want you to recognize the correction of the Lord. Some want you to recognize it and ignore it. But God wants us to submit to it. God, what is it that you're trying to perfect me in? What is it, God, that you're trying to reveal to me? What is it, God, that you want me to make right? Because I don't know what day you're coming. I don't. I don't know how long this life for me is going to be. Today might be my day. When I stand before Him, I want to be perfect. Lord, let me fix today. What you reveal to me that needs to be fixed. Make me perfect for my profit. I pray. Amen. Father, I pray that this message might reach every heart. Lord, you know that there are errors in all of our lives. We know that. We're not perfect beings. We know that. But you have promised to provide for us, Father, chastening. That if there is iniquity in our lives, you said, "I'll reveal it to you. And my word will show you how to fix it. I'll speak to you in your heart." Father, I pray that we might make ourselves available to the true chastening of the Lord. Help us to see, Father, that fire is so that we might be burned to a point of perfection, so that all of the chafe and all the foolishness, everything that will be a weight and a hindrance to us, might fall away. Then help us, Father, to see that it's for our profit, not just our eternal profit, not just for our profit in glory, but for our profit today.
Lord, help us to be a prophet to you. Help us to be able to be a good testimony to the world that's around us. There are some who are out there like those who are in John chapter 8, who associate themselves with church, but have no idea who Jesus is. Lord, I pray that we might guard our hearts so that we never find ourselves in that situation. Help us, Father, to not be bogged down by people of that nature. Help us, Father, to live our lives as true believers in Jesus Christ. Help us to be Christ-like in all things, Father, I pray. If there be one listening who doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that you might let them see the spiritual war that is being fought around them. There's a battle. Lord, I believe that you're calling out to all of your creation to submit themselves before you. And then there's the opposer who is trying to glorify the world and all that the world has to offer. Lord, let them see. And let them follow after that light that will shine in darkness. That let them see that they only need to just make a true confession of faith, to call out to you, Lord, to ask you to come into their heart. Not to be perfect right now, but to trust you, Lord, to bring them to a point of perfection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I pray that you would just use your message for your glory to strengthen your kingdom. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.